The older we get, the harder it is to think of ourselves as old. But as far as the government is concerned, specifically in the federal corrections system, you are aging or elderly once you turn 50. California houses the country's largest population of elderly prisoners. And gradually, it also releases them. Research has shown that the older the person is, the less likely he is to return to prison after his release. People over 65 have about a 0% chance. But leaving prison as a senior citizen brings other challenges. A 2008 study found that 21% of California's older parolees were homeless or living in a shelter. Here in San Francisco, one organization is helping guide seniors back into something like the life that they once knew. KALW's Lila Day has our story.
In a building on Yosemite Avenue, about 20 women over the age of 60 are in two single-file lines, snapping their fingers and shuffling their feet. They are line dancing. A couple of older men stand on the sidelines, offering compliments that mostly go ignored.
Go, girls. Y'all go. Y'all hitting it.
This is the senior center in Bayview Hunters Point. It serves breakfast and lunch, has recreational activities and classes. It's pretty much like most senior centers, except that many of the folks who come here have a record.
I've been in and out of prisons. I'm 52 years old. Yeah, I've been in and out of county jails and institutions for, let's just say, half of my life.
That's Ray Bursey. Most recently, he spent time in prison for selling drugs and committing robbery. He was released in 2009.
Yeah, when I was younger, I can even say jail was fun at one time, you know. Being in there got me off the streets. I had a place to stay. These are the things I can look at now, because I didn't have a place to stay when I got arrested. I didn't have no food when I got arrested. I didn't have no clean clothes when I got arrested. At my age, it got to a point in my life where jail is not an option anymore.
Soon after he was last released, Bursey went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. He was told to come to the senior center to find out where to take computer classes, get free clothes, and find housing.
Actually, to be honest with you, I was just trying to get off of parole and probation.
At the center, Bursey met with the director of the Senior Ex-Offender Program, Frank Williams. Williams was a fitting mentor. He had also spent time in prison, but moved on to get two master's degrees in humanities and criminal justice. He knows that turning things around is possible.
We do an intake and assessment of them. We find out, you know, their criminal history. We find out their personal history. And we find out if they have a work history. We find out their treatment history, you know what I mean? And after we do all of that, that helps us come up with a conversation.
Williams and two other case managers work with about 200 ex-offenders each year. It's part of an initiative started in 2002 by San Francisco's Sheriff's Department.
For the most part, a lot of them feel like it ain't nothing I can do. My life is gone, you know what I mean? I just need somewhere to stay, you know, something to eat, and I'm cool. And I'm like, this don't work like that. You got to put in some work. So what can we do to help you get to where you need to get to? And so we'll design some steps for them, you know, and some of it is give and take, you know, like I might have them come in and do some volunteer work. You know, at the same time, I have an appointment set for them at City College so they can get into the Second Chance program because they didn't know they can go back to school, didn't have to pay for it.
Williams says that getting involved in the community is a good way for him and other ex-offenders to move on with their lives. So he spends a lot of time speaking to convicts at county jails around the Bay Area.
I want them to be productive. I want to see them walking down the street holding their kids' hands. I want them to be a daddy in the neighborhood. You know, I want them to stand up and speak out against cats going the wrong way. If our men were out here doing what the hell they supposed to be doing.
We did what? Yeah, there is some ketchup in me by the morning.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Downstairs, the seniors are being served catfish and okra for lunch. The chatter spills out to the wide streets lined with small apartments and live-work lofts. There are also liquor stores only a few blocks away, and in the early morning, a group of younger men were smoking weed right in front of the building. When Frank Williams arrived, they disappeared. I meet Ted Dunlap outside the senior center. He's quiet, not talking a lot with the others here. His arms stay folded when he tells me about the first time he was incarcerated. He was 13 years old.
Yeah, I lost track of, of just being civil and just being, you know, timely and just, you know, lost track of having concern, you know, and not giving other people that was trying to help me a chance to help me.
Dunlap tells me he's been in and out of jail his entire life. Most of the arrests were for burglaries and drug charges. He remembers Frank Williams speaking to him and other inmates at San Bruno. When he was released in his mid-50s and found himself homeless, he came to the Senior Ex-Offender Program for help. They gave him housing in the Ulysses T. Bill Building.
You know, I have to, you know, be independent, self-sufficient, and just be accountable, you know, and I try to do those things today.
A couple of weeks pass, and I go to visit Dunlap at the ex-offender house, a few blocks away from the senior center. I run into Ray Bercy again. He's the house manager here. When I ask Bercy where Dunlap is, he shrugs.
No telling, said Helen. No telling.
You know, if you see him, I want to talk to him.
He won't even answer my phone calls. That's one of the deacons.
Dunlap right disappeared over a week ago. He's still on probation, and Bercy's concerned. He knows Dunlap is one of the older ex-offenders who doesn't have family to fall back on. So leaving the house with no explanation isn't a good sign. Some women are arguing on the sidewalk, so Bercy invites me in to see the house.
It's a house over a church. We stay above the church. We sleep with God every day.
The house is kind of like a dorm, but it's immaculately clean. Each room has 3 bunk beds. 10 people live here. The rents are subsidized. Some members have jobs. Others have veterans benefits that pay part of their rent. Bercy points out a list posted on a bulletin board in the hallway.
Rules and regulations. You know, things you're supposed to do, things you can't do.
No drinking, no drug use, no living in the house for more than 3 months. Though that's not really enforced. If they can pay the rent, they stay.
Each individual in here has a, what do you call it, accountability sheet, where they sign in every day.
Bercy says even at his age, living here in a house full of men with so many rules is a blessing. Outside, there are temptations. Bercy's constantly cleaning up crack pipes and needles thrown on the sidewalk outside of the church. There's even a mobile methadone van that parks right in the parking lot.
The neighborhood is just a neighborhood, man. You dig? You know, as I said, I had a drug addiction. So the things that they're doing outside my window, I used to do it myself. That's why I don't knock it. I laugh at it a lot. You know, it's just a reminder of who I am. But at the same time, that's what I don't want to do anymore. The chaos, the drama, the bull crap. Come on.
Housing is one of the most difficult obstacles for ex-felons. And housing in San Francisco is extremely limited. So are jobs. Bercy knows he was lucky. He got a job as a driver at a drug rehab program where he was once a client. And because of the senior center and his new home, he's got support. His 80-year-old neighbor across the street said she'd cook him some pig's feet if he'd buy them. Just being neighborly. Which for Bercy and other ex-offenders is exactly what they need. In San Francisco, I'm Leela Day for Cross Currents.